to warn you. You're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
Hey, yo, Michael and Jason and Chucky, get ready. Heather's moving to Elm Street, kicking it with Freddy. Cause Heather loves horror.
What's your favorite scary movie?
You're the man.
Heather loves horror.
How's it going?
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
I see you have your crazy beanie on.
Let me see if I can get my picture in there. Now it won't go. Why is your thing sideways, your picture sideways, and mine? Is it all right on your end?
It shows you sideways. It showed me. Oh.
Because I've got my picture. Should I turn my phone vertical? Vertically?
You may want to do that. Yes, sir.
Like that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, cool. It's a little bit hard to hear you.
Okay, I'll try and speak up. So, let's see. I was going to ask if you have do you have a favorite role that you've already done, or
do I have what?
Do you have a favorite role from the movies you've done?
I like to play the weird guy, the guy that's offbeat, that's in his own world, and you really don't expect this because you don't see it a lot in lead roles in movies. You see, like, you know, Ryan Gosling's and Tatum, you know, all those guys, Brad Pitt's. Yeah. You don't usually see sky yellow bars, so I like the weird guy.
Yeah, those are fun roles.
I better put my headphones on because I can't hear you that well.
I'm so sorry. I'll try and scoot up a little bit more.
Let me find where my headphones are. I usually don't have to use them. Anyway. I don't know where they are right now. So we'll just go with this, right?
Okay. Someone was commenting for a Greasy 2 in the comment section.
Greasy 2.
Yes.
I only wish we'd have a Greasy 2. I've tried to put the Elijah Woods company and a money guy together. That was right before COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went up in smoke because of COVID. COVID just, like, you know, obliterated everything.
Right. Yeah, that's horrible. Let's see. So I thought it was interesting that the grease from the film was actually tapioca pudding. Is that true?
That's half true. The grease on the floor that we found on the floor was tapioca pudding, but the grease on our bodies, on our suits, was this stuff called methocellulose. They sell it in Hollywood at these like costume stores and stuff. They sell buckets of it, like big 5-gallon buckets, and you just lather it on yourself.
I was wondering what that was like, that process. I couldn't imagine it.
That's terrible. It's really terrible. It's hard to get off. At the end of the day, it took us like 2 hours to shower it off.
Oh my my goodness.
And Michael's old, an older guy. And he had to, like, literally sit in the shower for, like, 2 to 3 hours to get it out of his hair and off his body. It's terrible.
Wow. That's insane. Hey, buddy. Sorry. I just lost my train of thought. What was it like? I know, y'all use prosthetics for, I guess, the genitalia part? I was going to ask, depending on that.
That was probably the weirdest part of the movie when, before we shot it, the director, Jim Hosking, said, hey, Sky, we got to meet in Burbank at this special effects makeup place where they're going to, like, size you for a Merkin. I didn't even know what a Merkin was. I've never heard that before. So I went up there, and they're like, no, we're giving Michael a large penis, and we're giving you, like, a micro penis. I'm like, well, I guess that's Braden. So they had to, like fit us in all this stuff, the suit, the Merkin, the whole deal. We did a lot of fittings and a lot of, went to eyeglass places to get those weird glasses that Braden wore.
They almost looked like they were upside down.
Yeah, it's like a 70s women's style glasses. If you look at women's style glasses back in the 70s, you see those.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like what was her name? Sally, Jesse, Raphael. Hers were different, though. But
very different. Kind of reminds me
a little bit of that. You're going to have to go in there.
Okay.
Kid came home sick today, so.
You got to zoom in on Big Braden and Ronnie back there on the picture.
That's awesome.
Somebody did that at a convention we were just at and gave it to us.
Have y'all been at Texas Fright Me recently?
No, I was going to mention that. Do you know anyone there?
I do not personally. I know people who do.
Yeah, we'd love to get in Texas Frightmare. And the lady that reps us, she's trying to get us in.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I'd love to do that. That's like one of the biggest ones.
Yes, and I think you'd have a huge fan base there to show up and support y'all. That would be so cool.
When is that?
I think it's April 29th through May 1st.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
Yeah, I believe so. Also, I wanted to ask about y'all's wardrobe in The Greasy Strangler. Who came up with the concept to have, a lot of matching costumes?
I guess that was a director, Jim, and he's worked with this lady, Christina Blackaller. She's a costume designer and a wardrobe person. They got together and they dreamed this whole thing up. Oh, when they're on the disco walking tour, they should be wearing matching outfits because it's a family thing. And let's do pink. And oh, God, pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought
But Jim and her imagined all this stuff, and I think they had a guy here in Los Angeles, a guy who makes a seamstress, put it all together for them. He drew out the, how you do that. You draw out a thing, and then you make it. So it's pretty cool.
What started the bullshit artist?
Say that one more time.
Do you know what was the start of the whole bullshit artist?
The start of the whole bullshit artist was when Jim and Toby, the other writer, were in school together back in England. And they used to call each other bullshit artists. So when they got together, and started writing this, Jim said they just went back and forth. Bullshit artist. Let's put that in here. Mm-hmm. And when I read that whole scene where all we're doing is yelling bullshit artists at each other, I thought, this is completely insane.
It's such a good line. I know it's something else, most quoted one. That and the, what is it, Hootie Tootie Disco Cutie? Did I say it right?
That's another catchphrase that they came up with, those two guys. You know, and I worked with them on another show later on that was on Adult Swim, and I hung out with Toby a lot, and he's just an encyclopedia of catchphrases. He comes up with catchphrases, and then he'll not stop. He'll just continue to say them over and over again when you're talking with him. He's a funny dude.
The Adult Swim you told me about, someone, Jason Champion, had mentioned that to me, and I was hoping to try to watch it before our interview, and with it being Halloween weekend and everything, it just didn't work out.
So Jason, he's one of my friends on Instagram.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, man.
Yes, I met him at Texas Nightmare Weekend, and I had posted one day about the Greasy Strangler, and he had mentioned your name in there, and so I was like, oh, well, now I know how to get in contact with him, so I'm really grateful.
Here you are.
Are you a cheesy old cornball?
Actually, I am a cheesy old cornball. Very old and cheesy. Moldy. A moldy, cheesy old cornball.
let's see. What was your favorite part about the Greasy Strangler?
Well, it started off, the fun thing is being indoors. And the house was great to shoot these scenes in with Dad and cooking Greasy and him demeaning me. And all those scenes were great because it's really controlled. It's not cold. It's, you know, the wind isn't blowing at you, you know, all that stuff. But then we found out there was mold in the house. And while we were shooting there, everybody was wearing masks. This is before COVID.
Oh, no.
And that's when it became not fun, when you realize, oh, my God, there's mold in this house. It's like it's 100 years old. But that was a fun part. I didn't like working in the Los Angeles forest, running around. And that was crazy. Yeah. Or being out in Highland Park at the theater, running in the Greasy suit. At like 10 at night. But it's for the love of the grease.
Right?
Yep.
Love of grease, duck eggs, I guess. So when you started acting, was it because of the band 7th House?
No. Seventh House was pretty much gone by that time. And my wife and I moved to LA, and I was working with a guy who was on a TV show called American Idol. You probably heard of it. He was one of the top 10 guys. And we were like touring around a little bit, and it wasn't going anywhere. So my wife, Rosa, pulled me down to this place called LA Casting, and they took a picture, and we put it up online, and then I would submit myself to all these roles. And that's how I met Jim, through LA Casting, through submitting to, I saw these projects that looked really interesting, so I'd submit myself, and the casting director would bring me in. And I meet the director. and Jim and I hit it off. So that's how it started out here in LA.
That's awesome.
LA's pretty cool for acting and, you know, it's LA, New York, and Atlanta.
Someone said you're wearing their jersey in respect to the Prince of Greece.
Greasy.
Love it. That's so cool.
I got to send a shout out to Doc Sanguinary. Have you heard of him? He has a public access TV show in Omaha, Nebraska. He brought us out there for a big signing, and I got the shirt. They gave me the shirt.
They did? I love it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. If you could have, let's see, if you could create your own dream role, what would it be? I know you said you like playing, you know, out of the norm characters.
Well, I did a short film called a Ben Evans film. I don't know if you've seen it. It's on Vimeo. You and your fans can check it out on Vimeo. It's called a Ben Evans film. The guy who wrote Bird Box wrote this. And we shot the film and we're getting ready to shoot the feature, extended feature of this. That's a role that it's like a dream role for me. And it's a weird guy who lives with his dead parents. And he's an aspiring filmmaker. And he's kind of antisocial. He can't really meet anyone. So he uses his dead parents as actors in his film.
Okay.
And he talks all the voices.
That's interesting.
A Ben Evans film. So it's pretty funny and it's pretty dark and you feel kind of bad for Ben. Because you think he's a little bit challenged.
Yeah, needing dead parents for help. What was it like on the set of Candy Corn? I know that was a very good casting job too.
Have you seen Candy Corn?
Yes.
That was a cool set. I got brought into the tail end of that movie because Josh Hastie, the director, had been shooting that for 3 years.
Oh,
it's his passion. So he just put it together and kept going with it until he finished it, till he got all the money to finish it. But I got brought into the tail end of it in Ohio. And these towns are really bleak. They're like horror towns, the perfect place to shoot a horror film. And all the sets, the diner and all that are on location. And the set where I got killed was in the coffee shop, in the bathroom. Really, really a dark time, you know? Laying in the blood for 2 hours.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it was to that extent that you'd be in the pool of blood.
That was a whole day. That whole scene was in the bathroom of the coffee shop was a whole day where the monster comes in and we interact and then he kills me and I'm laying in the blood. God, that was big scene. It was fun.
I like how he'd bring the little the little jack-o'-lantern, or the little pumpkin pill, whatever you want to call it.
That's pretty creepy, huh?
Yes. It was good. Do you have any upcoming projects that you would like to discuss?
Well, I have, like I said, the Ben Evans film, and then I have, we have a couple films that are submitted to Sundance and all the film festivals, short films that we're hoping to expand on with a feature film. That one's The Lizard Laughed. And it's have you heard of Noah Van Sciver? He's a graphic novelist. Mm-hmm. He's a well-known graphic novelist. They adapted the story, the film from his novel, and they're going to expand on it. That's a really cool idea. And let's see what else. I've got this movie that my friend and I wrote that we're hoping to get funded called House of Christmas Past. It's The Shining and A Christmas Carol all in one. Really, really a great thing. I'm a window designer in a small town, and I get approached by this really strange lady to decorate the house, the childhood house of this family. And I didn't know that the house was haunted and there was a malevolent spirit in the house who takes over my body and possesses me to kill the family.
That's cool.
So that we're working on a lot of stuff here. If you can tell everybody my IMDb page so they can click on that and see what's coming up.
I definitely will. I'll link it. I'll try to put it in my, when this goes on my page, I'll try to put it in there.
Awesome. IMDb/ whatever, Sky Elevar. You can get it, right? Or should I send, okay. Should I email that to you or text it to you?
I can get it for you.
Okay.
I'll definitely do that. Jack Death in the chat, he said that we need more Christmas movies, so.
Say that again?
So we definitely need more Christmas movies.
We need more Christmas grease. We need a Greasy Strangler 2 around Christmas. Right?
That would be wonderful. Yes. I wish that the production company with Elijah Wood could, you know, make it happen.
Man, it's a dream. We'll see. Amazing. We'll see. I'm ready to do it. Big Ronnie and I are ready.
Well, I know everybody's ready for it, so hopefully. let's see. What is your favorite movie genre?
God, I don't know. Sci-fi horror and vampire genre. I love the vampire movies. Anything, no matter how cheesy it is. I just love vampire movies. And I do like, you know, what would you call the gladiator thing? That's like that.
I don't know.
God.
Or historical?
Old Roman gladiator movies. I like that stuff.
Maybe it could be a vampire gladiator.
And have you seen this TV show, The Strain?
The Strain, yes. That was by Guillermo del Toro. Yes. That was great. That was on FX.
God, was that good.
That was so good.
I why did they have to end that? They should have kept going with that.
Was it two or three seasons? They didn't go.
I don't know. It was awesome. I loved that.
I did too. I like how it was like, but it was like a big tongue coming out of their mouth, right?
Yeah. It's like a vampire, some kind of monster vampire.
Yeah. That was definitely a different way. I felt like it stood out a lot more from other vampire, not just shows, but movies.
You got to interview him.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know where. I'm trying to think. What are some of your favorite TV shows that, do you have any that are, do you like Dexter or anything like that? That one's rebooting or restarting.
What a TV show?
For Dexter. the one who killed the serial. He was the serial killer who killed serial killers.
I didn't. That's one thing I don't like, really enjoy are serial killer movies. But I do like David Fincher's Mindhunter. Because it's in the FBI's, you know, area of it rather than. I like that, but I'm not really into the Ted Bundy movies and the, you know.
Yeah, with Mindhunter, they did a good job of actually profiling it, whereas with a lot of the Ted Bundy movies, they almost glorify serial killers by putting beautiful actors.
And
I know that they're trying to represent how charming they were, but still at the same time, it's just so bad. One show that was not like that was The Golden Glove, and that one was, they did a good job of making him look like the creep that he was. It was like, I've watched it twice and it was enough that I needed to watch it on, but it was
but so American crazy. Psycho was great.
Yes, completely agree.
Yeah,
what is your take on it from the end? Do you, I know some people like argue and say that he made it up or that it was imagined. And then some people say, well, it couldn't be because then they have the second one where, I don't know if you've seen the second, but Mila Kunis played in it. And she was like the victim of a babysitter that Patrick Bateman supposedly was, I think he killed.
Which show was this or movie was this?
This was for American Psycho 2.
I didn't see it.
A lot of people don't like it. I like it, but...
Christian Bale was in American Psycho 2?
No, he wasn't, but they had portrayed his role, just showing how the new killer, where she started, was from him.
That's probably why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people...
Didn't like it, huh?
Yes.
Anyway.
They do not.
Get us in Texas Frightmare. Let's get a campaign going so we can get in the Frightmare in April.
Heck yeah, let's do it. Well, I'll be sure and help do what I can. And I'll talk to some friends and see what we can do.
You have a decent amount of followers on Instagram. How do we get out to them and get them going to say, hey, bring the Greasy Boys into the Frightmare?
So Jack Death commenting, we'll talk. I'll ask him for his input, and I'll speak to Jason Champion. And then there's other people who know people that I don't really know. I'll do what we can.
Great.
We see that happen.
Great. That's the next step for the Greasy Strangler to take over Texas Frightmare in our pink outfits.
Yes. And got to have a table full of those beanies. I got to get one too. Nobody sports the pink at the convention. I saw someone at Houston Horror Film Fest wearing one.
The pink Greasy beanie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got my personal beanie here.
Awesome. Do you mind if I ask if anyone has some questions for you in the chat?
No. Let's ask them.
Okay. Oh, and my friend Mark, he's Jack Death on here. He says he knows the guy who runs Texas Frightmare. So, do you want us to? Oh yeah, it's Lloyd. Do you want us to send him your Instagram information, or do you have like a...
Yes.
We will definitely do that.
Thanks.
Oh, and Mark also said, you mentioned about Cult Classic. Have you been in Bastrop? In February, Cult Classic Convention, it's in Bastrop, Texas. Where the Chainsaw... gas station. So like maybe we could try and get you out there too.
Let's do that.
Sweet. And I'm going to, okay. Does anybody have any questions?
For Big Braden. Not for Sky Elobar, but for Big Braden.
We need some Big Braden questions, guys.
Come on, guys. There you go. There's a question.
I can't see it yet. Oh, what did it say? Let's see. Oh, and Kick Monkey Texas, he helps with Houston Horror Film Fest. So I'll just talk to all those people. Okay.
Have you heard of Spookala in Florida?
No, I have not.
Yeah, we're doing that in May.
In May?
Yeah, Florida, like, around Orlando.
Okay.
And that's going to be fun. They're going to have everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, that would be fun to go to. Creep Rodar. I can't really see. It's so blurry. It says, has your life improved since you became the Greasy Strangler too?
Say that again.
He said, has your life improved since you became the Greasy Strangler too? Also.
Well, it brought my dad and I together to the point where we were doing the same thing. We're out hunting people and we're, you know, strangling people all over town. So it was a good thing. You notice in the film that Dad and I are kind of like, you know, we're not really happy. He's yelling at me, cook greasier and this. Once we get the greasy suits on, how can it get any better than that? It was great.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny that y'all like fought over Janet so hard. And then someone says, what's the newest book Big Braden has been working on? Sequel to Space Duck?
He's writing a novel, a graphic novel, about bringing the Greasy Strangler into outer space and introducing it to aliens and greasing the aliens, having grease in an alien world. That's what he's writing about. Sending the film out in a spaceship and teaching the aliens how to get greasy.
That's cool. So what was it like in the film fighting over Janet?
I didn't like it because Dad started dating Janet, and then he started getting really nasty with me. And when we were out on the disco walking tour, we were fighting all the time. It was terrible. It was terrible. And he was acting like a jerk. Remember the scene on the park bench where he's talking about being in a limo with Michael Jackson and then going out to the disco in that outfit with the crotch cut out and dancing in the spotlight? He really lost his mind.
Yeah. I guess he didn't need one, though. It says, the Greasy Strangler should be part of the MCU since Big Ronnie mentioned Spider-Man. Sony and Disney would be upset, though.
Did he mention Spider-Man?
I feel like he did. I don't remember, though.
I don't remember him mentioning Spider-Man, but... Wow, that's cool.
Jack Death said the space movie should be the third or fourth, and then Alex Two King said the fourth movie is always in space.
Thanks, man.
Ronnie, do you have any more questions? He said, I'm the Spider-Man of Clocktown.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. See, Ronnie lost his mind. And Disney is going out of their mind right now. Like he said, they're pissed that Big Ronnie mentioned Spider-Man and the Greasy Strangler.
Would you like to talk about Under the Silver Lake with A24?
That was a fun movie. I auditioned for that, and I was gonna, if everybody saw it out there, I was gonna play the guy, the guy that was made up as a 100-year-old dude, the musician. I was gonna play that role, and they moved me to the other role, to the clerk. But it was a one day shoot downtown LA in that famous bookstore. And it was great working with Andrew Garfield. He's amazing. He's an amazing actor. Really, really good.
Speaking of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, right?
Did he play him? Yeah, he does.
And he's really skinny too, man.
Yeah.
He's like.
Speaking of being skinny, did you have to put on weight for the Greasy Strangler role?
I didn't have to, but I did. I did, and taking off the weight was pretty hard. Mm-hmm. But it's always easier to gain weight than it is to lose weight, right?
Definitely. Somebody.